Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, June 5th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
A 10th day of protest brings peaceful rallies to most cities, though clashes continue in New York.
Wall Street awaits a U.S. jobs report likely to show unemployment nearing 20%.
Global stocks rally on stimulus measures from Europe and word of the next rescue package from Congress.
New York City prepares for phase one of reopening, while Governor Cuomo urges protesters to get tested for the coronavirus. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another roadblock for the baseball season. The NBA return is set and Drew Brees apologizes.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond search tool to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at ibkr.com/bonds.
And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of the monthly jobs report. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 23 points, Dow futures up 301, NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%, CAC in Paris up 2.2%, and the FTSE 100 is up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.75%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.7%. 10-year Treasury down 0.38, yield 0.85%, the yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or 69 cents at $38.10 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.9% or $15.30 at $17.12.10 an ounce. And the euro 1.1335 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin this morning in Minneapolis, where hundreds gathered to honor the memory of George Floyd. The memorial was attended by political leaders, musicians, actors, and human rights advocates from across the country and was capped off by a fiery eulogy from the Reverend Al Sharpton.
It is not a normal funeral. It is not a normal circumstance, but it's too common, and we need to deal with it.
Thousands also gathered in Brooklyn, New York to honor Floyd's memory. George Floyd's brother Terrence spoke at the gathering in Brooklyn's Cadman Plaza.
I'm proud of the protests, but I'm not proud of the destruction.
Memorials in Minneapolis and New York, two of several gatherings across the country in memory of George Floyd.
A 10th day of protests brought peaceful rallies to most cities, though clashes erupted again in New York. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us now with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Karen, thousands across New York City continued protests well past an 8 p.m. curfew. Large gatherings continued into the evening in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. Police arrested dozens after confining and then charging demonstrators who defied the curfew, though there were fewer violent confrontations than in days past. Upstate in Buffalo, New York, video of a confrontation between police and a protester has gone viral. Footage shows an elderly man pushed to the ground by police. He hits the ground and a pool of blood forms near his head. Two officers involved in the incident have been suspended. Millions have watched the footage, including New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who calls the use of force, quote, wholly unjustified and utterly disgraceful. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. In California, protests have turned peaceful. That has local officials lifting curfews across the state. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
San Francisco, Los Angeles anxiously taking the step and awaiting the results. In doing so, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti said, "I'm a little scared about that, but sometimes fear is what you've got to do." The ACLU, which had sued Los Angeles and the city of San Bernardino on behalf of Black Lives Matter for suppressing First Amendment guarantees to political protest and freedom of movement, applauded the end of the order. Sacramento, which was slow to put one in place, left its on. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to financial markets now, today's monthly payrolls report is the main event for investors. Economists predict a loss of 7.5 million jobs in May with an unemployment rate north of 19%. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The focus will be on the unemployment rate, which should rise to a level not seen since the Great Depression. May's actual job losses should be about half the number seen in April, although they will cover more industries. Unemployment will spread from restaurants, bars, airlines, and hotels to retail and other businesses hit by a prolonged loss of demand. The hope is that as bad as the numbers will be, they will mark the bottom of the crisis. The slow drop of initial jobless claims suggests job losses may be more limited in June. That may help unemployment decline at least a little this month. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thanks. Global stocks are rallying in the wake of fiscal and monetary measures out of Europe. Now we're learning more about plans for the next round of stimulus from the White House. Here with details is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Sources tell us Trump administration officials expect to spend up to $1 trillion in the next stimulus package. The president says he wants an infrastructure package in the bill, though we are told he has not made a final decision. Action on the measure is likely more than a month away. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there are no plans for a package until after lawmakers return from their next recess on July 20th. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Oil gaining as OPEC and its allies prepare to extend production cuts. There's been a breakthrough in negotiations after Russia and Saudi Arabia struck a deal with members on compliance quotas. We get more from Bloomberg Energy reporter James Thornhill.
Really what the wrangling has been over is trying to get these junior partners in OPEC to carry out their side of the bargain in order to get an agreement on extending the output cuts by a month. It remains to be seen, of course, whether a month will be long enough to maintain the price rally we've seen, but it looks like this deal will get rubber stamped over the weekend.
And NYMEX crude oil at $38.19 a barrel.
On the corporate front, shares of American Airlines are surging in early trading. The carrier says it'll boost July flights 74% compared with this month. That has American shares up 12.5%. Futures higher, S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures ahead by 283. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street and Amy Morris with a look at what else is happening around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Thank you. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is concerned that the crowded protests with thousands of demonstrators could lead to more COVID-19 cases. He says protesters have an obligation to get tested for the virus.
If you were at a protest, go get a test, please. The protesters have a civic duty here also.
Fewer people in New York are being hospitalized for COVID-19, and some stores in New York City can reopen starting Monday, but some of the biggest stores won't. Coach, Kate Spade, Stuart Weitzman will not be opening any of their fashion boutiques. Major retailers say they aren't opening for curbside pickup on June 8th, which is when the first phase of recovery is set for New York City. Macy's says it plans to participate, but they'll be taking it day by day. New Jersey's non-essential retail businesses can open starting June 15th. Stores will be limited to 50% capacity, and customers are required to wear face coverings. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy announced the latest step to restart the economy as the virus put more than 1 in 9 New Jersey residents out of work since mid-March. As businesses do prepare to reopen, the governor says social distancing must remain the routine. New York Police Commissioner Dermot Shea says the violence seen at the protests is, quote, not what democracy looks like. He says the incidents are part of a larger anti-police sentiment fueled by online rhetoric and misinformation.
Let's be a little mature and a little responsible. And before you start commenting on a 6-second video, do a little homework and get the facts.
And a judge in New York has ruled the New York Police Department can hold protest detainees for more than 24 hours. Judge James Burke says curfew violators and criminal looters can be kept in custody because of the pandemic, preventing live arraignments, which causes delays. Job losses and pay cuts impacted all of the United States, but the worst of it might have been in New York, where almost half of all residents suffered a drop in income, especially in households with children. 55.7% of all New York City households took a hit. Service, retail, and blue-collar workers who can't do their jobs from home suffered the most cuts. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Morning, John Stasher.
Good morning, Nathan. The NBA voted 29-1 to approve the plan for the season that was shut down March 12th to resume. 22 of the 30 teams will head to Orlando July 7th, begin games there July 31st. They'll each play 8 games over the next 16 days, and the results will be added to what was played earlier, and then the regular season will be over, and 16 of the 22 teams will move on to the playoffs. The players on board, Commissioner Adam Silver said he had them in the loop throughout, although Union Chief Michelle Roberts did say she was not aware of a plan to start the 2021 season as early as December 1st. But for the most part, harmony in the NBA as opposed to Major League Baseball. The owners keep rejecting player proposals and vice versa. The union, after a two-hour conference call yesterday, quote, roundly rejected MLB's latest pitch. They feel there was already an agreement in place back in March not to cut pay. Drew Brees apologized, not once but twice, first in a lengthy online post and then again later in the day in an Instagram video.
I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities.
Brees said his comments about kneeling during the national anthem completely missed the mark, that they lacked awareness, compassion, and empathy, and that the pain he caused breaks his heart. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, and we'll talk with Jim Van Stone. He's the president of business operations and chief commercial officer at Monumental Sports. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures are higher by 20 points. Dow futures up 272. NASDAQ futures up 26 points at the moment. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bombardier Aviation has announced today that it's going to reduce its workforce by about 2,500 employees, this to align with current market conditions. Meanwhile, stocks are rallying while treasuries and the dollar fall as investors focus on government stimulus and shrug off an upcoming U.S. jobs report that's expected to show the highest unemployment since the 1930s. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 20 points, Dow futures up 266, NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year treasury down 8/32nds, yield 0.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.3% or 86 cents at $38.27 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.2% on $20.60 at $17.06.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1322 against the dollar, the yen 109.24. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. Curfews didn't mean much to protesters as demonstrations continued last night. We get a live report now from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Yeah, and Amy, there were large protests throughout New York City. Police surrounded a group of protesters in the Bronx defying a curfew and then charged at them as they refused to disperse. Dozens were arrested. Buffalo's police commissioner suspended two police officers after a video of them knocking over an elderly protester went viral. Elsewhere, protests were mostly peaceful nationwide. In California, cities and counties cautiously lifted curfews after days of sporadic mayhem were replaced by peaceful protests. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. Other news we're watching. A Chinese hacking group has targeted the personal email accounts of Joe Biden's campaign staff. Google says the company observed the Chinese activity against the campaign, as well as Iranian phishing attempts against personal email accounts for Trump campaign staff. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Friday, ahead of the May payrolls report, we welcome Lara Rame, Chief U.S. Economist at FS Investments. Good to talk with you this morning, although we're expecting anything but good from the May employment print. Back in April, it hit hardest among low-income workers. What are you expecting this time around?
Unfortunately, I think that trend is going to continue. You know, that's really the group that is related to these industries that require a lot of human contact. Those have been the most impacted by the shutdown, which in May were still largely in force, even if they had started to roll back.
There was some evidence in the private payrolls report from ADP that we could start to see some job losses in higher income brackets. Is that something we're going to see later, do you think?
Well, that is, I think, one of the concerns. And we just before I came on, we're talking about another aeronautics firm, an airline laying off more people. You know, you're going to have industries that I think are going to have a long road ahead of them when it comes to recovering. You know, we saw Boeing announcing layoffs the prior weeks. Those are, you know, high-paying, middle-income jobs, engineers, large production facilities. So it's not that middle-income or high-income workers are totally protected from all of this. It's just that a lot of the low-income workers are so in the line of fire. It's one of the things I think that's aggravating this sense that income inequality is going to continue or get even worse. And we're just seeing such a severe dislocation in labor, even though things are getting better.
Does that raise the question of whether more fiscal stimulus is going to be needed? There were the loans for small businesses and the Paycheck Protection Program. There have been some problems getting those loans out to those businesses. Is that going to make rehiring more difficult?
It absolutely will. When I think about my watch list over the next 1 to 3 months, one of the top three is how fast we're able to get money to these small businesses. I really still view this recovery as a race against time because a lot of the supplemental benefits that the government passed back in late March are going to run out in over the course of the summer and into the fall. We need to get these businesses open and enough of them to succeed These small businesses, if they all shutter, we need to keep them going to get a lot of that rehiring. So I really see getting effective money to these small businesses. The Fed's Main Street Lending Program is still being rolled out. We need perhaps more PPP funding. All of these things are really needed to make sure that when people can when economies are really reopened, there are jobs there. There are businesses to hire them. That's going to be the challenge.
You call this a race against time. Obviously, the Fed is still a backstop, but we're not expecting to get any further fiscal stimulus until at least late July. What impact could that have? Is the Fed enough?
Well, and this is, I think, the problem that the Fed raises all the time. The Fed is good at really pushing to financial markets, but pushing to Main Street is something that it is attempting now for the first time, and it really remains to be seen how effective that's going to be. So fiscal stimulus is better on that front, but I think as, you know, politics have been, of course, extremely diverted to other issues, all of the community protests and civil unrest and peaceful demonstrations, all of that, I think, has really changed the tone in Washington. I think passing more fiscal stimulus is just going to be harder to come together on. So, and it still may be needed. So that, I think, is also one of the places where our economic recovery is so nascent, it is fragile. And it is going to need a lot of support, I think, into the fall.
Only got about 15 seconds left. What kind of signaling could we get from the Fed next week at its rate decision?
I think we will. There's more discussion about negative rates. They're trying to talk markets away from that. And I hope that we'll get more information on the fact that there's still more to do, but, you know, how positive they are about the green shoots of recovery. I think that'll be really critical.
Thank you, Laura. Good talking with you this morning. That's Laura Rame, Chief U.S. Economist at FS Investments. And again, the May payrolls report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time from the Labor Department. The average economist surveyed by Bloomberg is expecting another 7.5 million jobs lost in the month of May, and the unemployment rate going above 19% levels at Great Depression level. Futures moving higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And tune into the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We set you up for the week ahead on Wall Street every Saturday morning at 5, every Saturday afternoon at 4, and Sunday mornings at 9. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning in Minneapolis, where hundreds gathered to honor the memory of George Floyd. The memorial was attended by political leaders and public figures from across the country. Thousands also gathered in Brooklyn, New York, to honor Floyd's memory, including his brother, Terrence.
I'm proud of the protests, but I'm not proud of the destruction.
And memorials in Minneapolis and New York were two of several gatherings across the country to honor the memory of George Floyd.
It was the 10th day of protests as well. Peaceful rallies in most cities, though clashes did erupt again in New York. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John?
And Nathan, thousands across New York City continued protests well past an 8 p.m. curfew. Police arrested dozens across Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. Though there were fewer violent incidents than in days past. Upstate in Buffalo, video of a confrontation between police and a protester has gone viral. Millions have watched footage of an elderly man pushed to the ground by police. The man hits the ground and a pool of blood forms near his head. Two officers involved in the incident have been suspended. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to financial markets now, today's monthly payrolls report is the main event for investors. Economists predict a loss of 7.5 million jobs in May with an unemployment rate north of 19%. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
Bloomberg Economics says April's employment data reflected the eye of the storm in terms of payroll cuts. Today's data covering May should reveal the breadth of the weakness, cuts across industries. Since the outbreak exploded in March, U.S. states have processed more than 40 million claims for unemployment benefits, though there are hints demand is moderating as the economy reopens. Federal Reserve officials nonetheless caution high employment will persist. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Global stocks are rallying in the wake of fiscal and monetary measures out of Europe, and now we're learning more about plans for the next round of stimulus from the White House. Sources tell us the Trump administration expects to spend up to $1 trillion in the next package, though there will be a wait. Action on a measure likely won't get underway till late July.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up about 21 points. Dow futures up 278. And NASDAQ futures up about 30. The 10-year Treasury down 10/32. Yield 0.85%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.2%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on around the world. Amy?
All right, thanks, Nathan. New York City's non-essential shops, from clothiers to toy stores, will soon be allowed to offer limited services beginning Monday, but some of the city's biggest stores won't be participating.
Retailers are wrestling with reopening for pickup as they try to determine whether it would be both safe and profitable. Curbside assistance is different in cities than suburban shopping centers and strip malls, with urban consumers reliant on public transport. Though pickup is sure to lift sales with nearby shoppers, it would need to drive enough business to make the cost worth it. On top of that, some Manhattan shops have been damaged in looting, and storefronts on shopping thoroughfares like Fifth Avenue, Broadway, and Madison Avenue have been boarded up with plywood to deter damage. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And a number of major retailers in New York City say they will not be reopening on Monday, including Kate Spade, Stuart Weitzman, and Coach. As the first phase of reopening is set to begin, makeup purveyor Ulta has no timeline set to reopen. Tiffany's has set a tentative reopen date for June 11th. And while Macy's is in talks with New York Mayor Bill de Blasio's office, it has no public plan for opening its flagship store, which was targeted by looters this week. In New Jersey, non-essential retail can reopen starting June 15th. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says customers will be required to wear face coverings, and stores are limited to 50% capacity. Now, as for the fight against the virus, there are new signs of hope in New York, where new COVID hospitalizations dropped to a new low. Still a warning from Governor Andrew Cuomo.
If you're going to protest, protest intelligently. Remember, the COVID virus is still out there.
And the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is saying the idea of keeping schools closed in the fall may not be necessary. New York University has been looking at leasing thousands of hotel rooms to house students for the fall semester. Sources tell Bloomberg News the university looked for rooms within walking distance of its Manhattan campus. It isn't clear if that search is ongoing. The school typically announces room assignments in July. The university's website says it does expect students to begin the fall semester on time. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Well, Nathan, until Wednesday, Drew Brees had an almost perfect image. Not only a record-breaking quarterback on the field, but he had done so much off it, especially in New Orleans following Katrina. And then the comments about not respecting anyone who would kneel during the national anthem. So yesterday, Brees posted a lengthy apology, later a video. There was a two-hour-long virtual team meeting, and after it, Saints teammates Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, his star running back and receiver, both said they forgive Brees. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver with interesting comments following the release of the plan for the NBA's return July 31st. He said some of the league's older coaches who'd be more prone to contracting the virus might not coach from the bench. This took some, like 65-year-old Alvin Gentry of the Pelicans, by surprise. Rick Carlisle of the Mavs, who's 60 and heads up the NBA Coaches Association, says he spoke with Silver and says the commissioner may have jumped the gun with his comments. The vote on the plan was 29-1. Only Portland voted no. The NBA announced the draft will be October 15th, and the 2021 season will start December 1st, and they'll have a full 82-game schedule. More details on the NHL's plan. The first round of the playoffs will be a best-of-five series. All series after that, best-of-seven, and it won't be a bracket. They'll reseed after each round. Baseball Players Association, quote, roundly rejected the owner's latest proposal. They seem dug in. They don't want their pay cut any further. They'd rather not play at all in 2020 if it is. We already learned about football players from Oklahoma State and Marshall getting coronavirus, and now five Alabama players reportedly have it after informal workouts on campus. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. To 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Mattis speaks. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It's hard to get across what a big deal it is that former Defense Secretary James Mattis has publicly criticized Donald Trump, and in harsh and extremely personal terms. Mattis talked about, quote, those in office who would make a mockery of our Constitution, and said that, quote, we are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. He added that Trump was engaged in a deliberate attempt to divide us, something he says no other president in his lifetime has done. Mattis's criticism probably won't directly affect public opinion, but it will still matter by affecting elite opinion. Meanwhile, the list of Donald Trump's terrible personnel choices, according to Donald Trump, gets one name longer as the president reacted predictably by bashing Mattis. The list of awful Trump choices, according to Trump, now includes a defense secretary, a secretary of state, an attorney general, at least one national security advisor, and at least two White House chiefs of staff. It really is a remarkable record. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's just before 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Nearly 3 years after the last meeting of an advisory board for the Great Lakes, the Environmental Protection Agency is reestablishing the panel. 14 new members have been added to weigh in on issues including invasive species and water pollution. The reestablishment of the board comes as a new State of the Great Lakes report, jointly prepared by the EPA and its Canadian counterpart, show impacts from invasive species are growing and regional efforts to reduce nutrient pollution have not prevented an increase in chemical concentrations. EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler said in a news release that advice from the board has been a critical part of the agency's efforts to restore and protect the Great Lakes. Wheeler said the work is far from over, and the panel's future efforts will ensure that needed expertise is available for environmental agencies to use, both in the United States and in Canada. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Now some other stories we're following. Shares of American Airlines are surging in early trading. The carrier says it'll boost July flights 74% compared with this month, signaling travelers are returning to the skies more quickly than expected. Americans up nearly 12% in the pre-market. Shares of Slack are down more than 12% in early trading. The company, citing business uncertainty, is withdrawing its annual billings forecast. Investors take that as a sign Slack isn't confident it will benefit as much from the work-at-home era as some might expect. And employees of Estee Lauder are calling for the ouster of a board member and family heir over his support for President Trump and criticism of the company's response to the protests against police violence. Bloomberg News obtained a letter sent to Chairman William Lauder, where more than 100 employees and staff asked for the removal of Ronald Lauder, citing his political donations and concerns about his impact on race relations within the company. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump's re-election hopes are getting shakier after the coronavirus, job losses, and racial unrest. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins us next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And this update brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Stocks rallying this morning. Futures higher. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 291. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nds. Yield 0.86%. And NYMEX crude oil up 2.4% or 91 cents at $38.31 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. The tone of the protests is turning, shifting from explosive anger to a grassroots call for more to be done to address racial injustice. This, as many political leaders, governors, health officials, and mayors are asking protesters to get tested for the coronavirus. There are more concerns now that those mass gatherings might spread the virus. And Congress is in a bind over what to do when unemployment benefits expire at the end of next month. There's no majority among lawmakers to extend the payments, but they can't just let them expire either. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy. Thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street. Now time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from the nation's capital include the ACLU suing President Trump and Attorney General William Barr over that clear out of protesters outside the White House before the president's photo op at a damaged church. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor blocking a judge's order to move inmates out of a federal prison where 9 people have died of coronavirus. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi backing New York Congressman Elliot Engel after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Engel's primary opponent. Also making news, a shifting political map putting President Trump in a precarious reelection position. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg U.S. Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Such extraordinary events over the last few weeks and months, Kate, between coronavirus, the jobs report that's going to come out later this morning, now protests on the streets. This has been such a difficult period for the country, and now it does appear to be affecting the president politically.
It does. As you said, Nathan, we have kind of this trifecta of interconnected crises going on with the coronavirus pandemic, the economic impact of that, and now these protests. So I think that certainly is going to have dramatic political implications, and sort of the overarching question has been whether Joe Biden is going to be able, from a political standpoint, to seize on any vulnerabilities that these crises create in Trump and his reelection. And we're starting to see some signs that potentially that could be the case.
Where is the president most on the defensive right now in terms of the Electoral College map?
Well, I would say a place to look at that's really going to be interesting to watch is the Midwest. We're seeing some signs that in states that Trump won that really helped to push him over the line, beating Hillary Clinton in 2016, that Joe Biden is making gains and perhaps even pulling ahead or widening some leads that we've seen in polls, in light of what's gone on with these crises that we've discussed. And so I think that the Midwest is going to be an area that's going to be potentially decisive in 2020. We know that it's an area that, you know, could be affected by a lot of these job losses that we're seeing across the country. It's a area that has the potential to, have Democratic blue-collar voters that we saw in 2016 defecting to the Republican Party or staying home. If Biden is able to win back some of those people, I think that could be a very promising sign for the Democrats as they seek to regain the White House.
You talked about whether Biden is going to be able to seize this moment, and we have seen him emerge from his home studio where he's been over the last few months because of the coronavirus. Where do you expect him to start trying to take advantage? Is he going to start increasing his travel schedule at any time?
He is potentially there. His campaign has said that they're looking to get back on the road. Of course, he's trying to draw a contrast with his reaction to President Trump. So the campaign has to be sensitive to the idea of, emerging from his, self-quarantine slowly. But we did see him, for instance, go to Philadelphia this week to make a speech on race and the issues that the U.S. is confronting right now. I think the expectation is that we could see that continue. There's been some talk about Biden going next week to George Floyd's funeral in Houston, Texas. If we saw that happen, I think that would be potentially, a very high-profile moment for him that allows him to kind of get back in the news and draw a contrast. Obviously, this is from a political standpoint to, Trump, who isn't planning on attending any of the memorial events. And so I think that is something we should expect to see from Biden, but probably in a very measured way.
And in terms of vulnerability, something that's getting a bit of attention this morning is a town hall that Biden held last night with African-American leaders. And one comment he made that sort of harkens back to some past mistakes from past politicians. He said that 10 to 15% of the people out there are just not good people. Is that something that could hobble him going forward?
Well, it's interesting because, I feel like this is one of these things where you want to kind of say, do Democrats ever learn from their past mistakes? I mean, we look back to 2016 and we remember Hillary Clinton's comment about the basket of deplorables that she referenced, which turned off, I think, a lot of voters and certainly gave an opening to Republicans that Trump and his campaign really seized upon. You can go back even further to Obama's campaign in 2008 when he talked about, voters who cling to guns and religion, which turned off, a similar segment of moderate and, potentially Republican but middle-of-the-road voters and really energized the Republican base. And so I think that, this is another example that could fall into that category. Now, how much traction this particular comment gets, I think, a lot of political watchers are immediately thinking of those past examples, but how much traction this type of a comment gets in light of all the other news that's going on in America right now, I think remains to be seen. But it's certainly, I'd put it in the category of yet another unforced error from Joe Biden.
Our Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Bungalow Road is a gift shop with three locations at the Jersey Shore. They closed their doors when the coronavirus hit New Jersey. That was even before stay-at-home orders went into effect. Bridget Duffy is co-owner of the establishment. Bridget, tell us about the business. What sort of hit it's taken from the lockdown?
So mostly as a gift store, we are, you know, a little cyclical and seasonal that right now we're probably doing 10% of the business that we would normally be doing this time of the year. And that's kind of been the case since the pandemic started.
How did you pivot during the pandemic? Were you doing online sales or online purchases and then curbside pickup?
Yes. So we were doing Instagram, Facebook, things like that. We had a website that we had kind of like let go stagnant. And then when this started, we relaunched it again. Our store is really more about, we think, like the in-store experience. We gift wrap everything. We know a lot of the customers, and we also know the people that they're shopping for. So it's really like a, you know, more of an experience. So it didn't always translate that well to online shopping.
Has anybody given you any clear indication of when the doors might reopen?
No, I feel like that is probably one of the things that is weighing on us the most, is that we don't have a timeline. Our stores, you know, have a pretty small amount of people in them at one time. We usually only staff one person at a time, and there's probably at most maybe three shoppers at a time. So we don't really have a high capacity. So we're hoping that they can approve us to open for in-store shopping again soon.
All right, Bridget Duffy, co-owner of Bungalow Road, three locations on the Jersey Shore. Thanks for talking with us. It looks like you should be able to get those doors open shortly with word from Governor Phil Murphy that non-essential retail can get back to work June 15th. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses struggling in the face of the coronavirus pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a top 100 national university in the latest U.S. News and World Report college rankings. Learn more at news.njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A battle of tech titans. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is stepping up his rivalry with Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. Musk tweeted that it's time to break up Amazon, adding that monopolies are wrong. Musk's post came in response to a tweet from a writer who said his book titled Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and the Lockdown was being removed from Amazon's Kindle publishing division for violating unspecified guidelines. An Amazon spokeswoman said the book was removed in error and is being reinstated. You may have to wait a little longer to get the new iPhone. Broadcom, a major Apple supplier, said there's a major product cycle delay at a large North American mobile phone customer. The company's CEO often refers to Apple that way. Bloomberg News previously reported Apple is planning to release its next iPhone line multiple weeks later than usual. The company typically unveils new devices in the second half of September. And speaking of Apple, employees heading back to work at the company's headquarters in Silicon Valley will face new realities in the COVID-19 era. There'll be optional testing for the virus, closed kitchens, and a requirement to wear masks. Temperature checks will be required. Apple began bringing some workers back to its main Apple Park office in May. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 290. NASDAQ futures are up 26. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.